We come now to begin our second lesson on the message, A Consuming Fire. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 12. Let me reread you verses 28 and 29 so that we can get back into it. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace wherewith we may serve God acceptably. How do you serve God acceptably? With reverence and godly fear. Why? For our God is a consuming fire. If we are producing hay, wood, and stubble religion, it'll burn it up. But if we are producing gold, silver, and precious stone religion, that is, walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, it will enhance them and glorify God. And we understand that this verse, Hebrews 12:29, is derived from Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24. Our God is a consuming fire. He says, even a jealous God. That's what it's all about. So we're talking about God who is love, has a jealousy in his love. And dear soul, you need to be aware of that. You can't just be messing around with the world and the things of the world. In fact, it says, he that hath the love of the world hath not the love of the Father in him. So we need to be careful about getting involved with the things of the world, getting involved with all kinds of things, not just merchandise, but in our patriotism. Don't let anything come before it. Love the Lord thy God with what? All your heart. Why? Because God is a jealous God, and he's not going to tolerate you giving your love to other things. So this is what we're trying to see today in this message on a consuming fire. Now, we saw in the first day of creation, the S-O-N was manifested. Therefore, it necessitated the creation of the S-U-N on the fourth day. Now, let's go to the next thing in Exodus chapter number 3, beginning with verse number 1. How does God reveal himself to Moses, the greatest man in the Old Testament, who wrote the first five books of the Bible, who walked with God face to face, and provided these things for us that are just invaluable, just unbelievably good? And it begins to establish the prophets upon which the foundation of the apostles was also built. Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1, how does God introduce himself to Moses? Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Horeb is also Sinai, Mount Sinai. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, listen, in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. You say, well, it was spontaneous combustion. The bush is so hot back there that the bush just ignited. No, that's not it. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. This was a different kind of fire. This was a fire that did not depend upon the fuel for its continuance. I know, having a wood stove, and in the wintertime I have to constantly get up and poke the fire and put on another piece of wood and make sure that it's continued and doesn't go out. It's dependent upon the fuel. But here is a fire that's not dependent upon the bush to fuel it. This was the fire and the flame of God. And Moses said, I've never seen anything like that. I'm going to go over and look at that. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called. Two different words. When the Lord, all capital letters, the sovereign God, saw that Moses turned aside to see, then God, his Savior and Lord, called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. First of all, God met Moses where Moses was attending his sheep. Thank God that he does that for us today. God is meeting us where the sheep are fed by the message that God gives us. And God's not dependent upon anything by which he manifests himself for his continuance. The bush burned, but it was not consumed. It was not dependent upon the bush for its fuel. And God did not have any hesitation to speak to Moses, not just out of the bush, but out of the fire in the bush. This is the same thing he's going to do on Mount Sinai. He's going to speak to the children of Israel out of the fire that was engulfing Mount Sinai. So he says, Here am I. And he said, Now, I want you to understand something. This is not just gawking and curiosity. He said, Draw not nigh hither. Don't come close to this. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. You don't realize it, but you need to be careful, and you need to treat the things of the Lord differently than anything else that you are involved with in this world. Dear soul, we need to be careful about attending messages, attending the services of God. We need to make sure that this thing is not just a common occurrence or something that satisfies our curiosity, that we're dealing with a holy God. And this message is given to us today for the first time in 52 years of preaching to give us understanding that God is a jealous God, even a consuming fire. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. You have some history here. I'm the same God. And he said, and Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. So we come to understand and see that the bush on fire was how God introduces himself to Moses. Go with me to Matthew chapter 17, and let me ask you this. How did the Lord Jesus Christ, the same God that spoke out of the burning bush, for Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and Colossians chapter 2 said, In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ is God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The entirety of God dwells within the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have the same God manifesting himself now to his disciples. In the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew, beginning with verse number 1, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John. Moses took some sheep. God took his sheep, Peter, James, and John, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. Moses led his sheep into the backside of the desert, apart from everything else. Dear soul, you need to make sure you separate yourself from the commonality of religious performance. God is not just 3 points and a poem. God is not just, you know, somebody getting up and give a devotion and reading the scriptures. It may be associated in that, but you need to understand that when you come to the place where you're going to hear from God, you need to do what you need to do to make sure you stay in contact with God. Take off that which is worldly, your shoes, and move them from you so that you can stand on holy ground and know, wait a minute, this is me in contact with God. My shoes are not between me and this holy ground. There's nothing between my soul and my Savior. I want to stand in the presence of God, and I want to get the full effect of God, but I have to know that it is God. This old going to church has ruined a lot of people. because it's become too familiar with them. And familiarity breeds contempt. And people get so close to the things of religion that they lose the awesomeness and the glory of Almighty God. Well, are we going to go out and eat again? Well, yeah, let's meet at the steakhouse. And, you know, us three families or four families, ever how many it is, we're all going to meet over at the steakhouse as soon as the preacher says amen. And we hope he don't preach too long so that we can get over there and be first in line and then not give out a banana pudding before we get it. How must that make God feel, who gave up every ounce of the drop of blood on a cross, accused of that which he did not do, having to pay back that which he did not take away, being lied on and spit on and hated, and all we want to do is make sure that we get to the steakhouse early enough to get the banana pudding. We need to take off our shoes, folks. We need to get rid of that which is separating us between us and God. We need to understand that this thing is more holy. Listen, in an hour that ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Be ye also ready, for in an hour that ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Well, I think I know when the Lord's coming. Well, I know that's when he is not going to come, because he said he's going to be in an hour when you don't think he's going to come. And dear soul, it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen that suddenly they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. They knew not till when? Till the flood was washing them down the street, washing them down the valley, drowning them. Horrible reports this past week of floods in Kentucky. 4 children in 1 family were drowned, just like that. Do you think that if those parents had known that that flood was coming, that they would not have taken their children to safety before it came? Dear soul, do you not realize that in an hour when you think not, the Son of Man cometh? We need to be careful, dear soul, and take advantage of every opportunity that we have to hear from God by proper reverence. Serve God with reverence and fear, for our God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. So in Matthew chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus takes his sheep apart, just like Moses took his sheep apart to the backside of the desert. Listen, and as Moses had a fire to represent God to him, the next verse in Matthew 17 says, and he, and Christ, was transfigured before them. That is, transformed. That means that was changed. It's the same word, are changed, in 2 Corinthians 3:18. He was transfigured before them. The glory that was God inside of him came out not only through his person but through his clothing. He allowed himself to be manifest as truly God Almighty. The Godhood of God shone through the manhood of man and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. And his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. So we see here is the same thing happening. Moses, the leader of the people in that day. Jesus Christ, the leader of the people in every day. Moses taking his sheep aside and him being a priest. And Jesus Christ, our great high priest, takes his sheep aside, Peter, James, and John, and takes them aside and takes them apart. And God appears unto Moses through fire. And the brilliance of it attracted Moses. And God warned him of what it was. And he said, listen, the bush is not burning to make the fire. The bush is burning because God is the fire. It's not going to take anything away from the bush. It's not going to have any blackened branches. It's not going to be in any way consumed or charred once this thing is over with, because it's not the bush that's providing anything. It's God that determines to manifest himself by the bush. Jesus Christ is very God of very God. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So he manifests himself to his disciples through fire. Our God is a consuming fire, and here he is again manifesting himself through this flame of fire, and his face shone, it says, as the sun, as the S-U-N. Now, in Revelation chapter 1, the book of the Revelation, chapter number 1, in verse number 12, Revelation 1:12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden, and the King James says candlesticks. It's better translated lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and gird about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Again and again and again, God is manifesting himself as a consuming fire. You're going to have the S-O-N manifest himself on the first day. Well, then you're going to have to create the S-U-N on the fourth day, because that which is created is that which manifests the person of God. The invisible things of the person of God are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Well, isn't it amazing that we can, you know, go to Bible school and go to Sunday school, and we can study the scriptures and learn one of these days as we progress along, that, boy, that's amazing that the S-U-N gives us an understanding of the S-O-N. And we think, well, great, the Son, S-U-N, brings forth the S-O-N. It's the other way around. The reason the sun, moon, and stars exist, the reason fire exists, is to manifest the being and the character and the person of God. Ask God to anoint your eyes. Ask God to anoint your heart. Look around you, being understood, dear soul, be understood of this one thing, that creation renders every soul inexcusable for not knowing God. Creation will not save you, but creation will render you inexcusable for not knowing God. Well, what about that guy over there in wherever, some distant part of the world, and he doesn't have a Bible, and we need to send a preacher over there, because he's going to have us come preach to him so he can. Listen, dear soul, we got this thing in a mess. We got it all backwards. The Bible said he's everybody that's ever lived in the entire world. I don't care if they drank yak's milk instead of goat's milk or cow's milk or their mama's milk. It doesn't matter when they were born, where they were born, how they lived, whether male or female, educated or uneducated, what century they lived in. Everybody in the entirety of Adam's race is rendered inexcusable, because the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So the invisible things of him are clearly seen. So when we read a verse like Hebrews 12:29, our God is a consuming fire, how are we to understand that? We are to understand the characteristics and those things of fire, what fire does, what it means, its warmth, its heat, its light, are created in order to show us what God is like. But know this, that when you read Hebrews 12:29, our God is a consuming fire, you need to go to Deuteronomy 4:24 and finish that verse. It said, our God is a consuming fire, comma, even a jealous God. There is that flaming love, that heat that comes with God's love. Well, I love you. How many times have you said that to people and you didn't more mean it than anything in the world? You just knew you had to say it. How many times have people said that to you? Well, I love you. There was no heat. There was no emotion. There was no affection. There was no jealousy in that love. There was no envy in that love. It was not a consuming thing. But that's not the way God is. And we need to be careful, because this is not how we've had God presented to us in our religiosity. The preacher, if you didn't show up for church that morning, he called you that afternoon and said, "Where were you?" He's concerned about attendance to religion. Not, are you rightly related to Almighty God? Religion has taught us to be affiliated with the tradition of an organization. But true Christianity teaches us to have a flaming love for in the organism of the church of the living God, that He is our God and that it is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We are bought with a price. Therefore, we are to glorify God in our body and our soul and our mind, which are God's. We belong to Him. We are to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. But we don't. He's just an add-on. How did you come to be satisfied with God being an add-on? Religion did that to you. Listen, we need to be careful. Thank God for church. Thank God for Bibles. Thank God for prayer. Thank God for people that care and that encourage us in the things of the Lord. But dear soul, be careful, because our God is a consuming fire, and you are and I am either hay, wood, and stubble, or we are gold, silver, and precious stone. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. We read it to you in the first lesson. You need to understand that you are making a track record. You are having these things manifested. God is going to come close to you, and that flaming fire of Almighty God is going to say, be careful. Get rid of your shoes. Don't come with curiosity. And don't get over it. Once you have seen this, you need to understand that this is that which is going to open up and explain to you Mount Sinai on fire in the giving of the law. God is going to continue to do this. What is that in Proverbs chapter 4, where it talks about the path of the just shineth more and more unto the perfect day? Like the sun coming up and it's dawn, and then, you know, it gets to be a little brighter, and then the noonday sun, there's no shadows at all, it's directly overhead. It progressively grows. And Peter said we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. Don't get over these things. Add on to them. Remember how God taught you at the beginning. And don't say, well, you know, I was just a little nobody at that time. And that didn't. Yes, it does mean something. Were you delighted with your child when you went to their school or wherever they were and you heard them stand up there in front of the class with the rest of the students and sing A, B, C, D, E, F, G? Was that great? Well, when they get in college, are you going to be glad that they sing A, B, C, D? No, because now they're learning that those letters put together bring forth words. And then they learn that words put together bring forth sentences. And sentences put together bring forth paragraphs. And paragraphs put together bring forth stories or accounts and documents. But we all had to start off with A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Dear soul, grow in grace and in the knowledge of God, but don't lose the one thing that should be in every degree of your growth. Our God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. He is jealous of you. Don't be messing around with God. Don't be messing around with your affections. Don't be giving your affections to things that don't deserve it. And dear soul, we need to be careful in that we have our relationship to others only with an awareness of that we have to be rightly related to God with them. or with it, or whatever it is. We don't realize that. We've lost that. Ho-hum. Preacher went over today. Look, all them people got ahead of us at the steakhouse. Be careful. Be careful. So we understand and see, dear soul, that where were we? In Revelation 1, 12 through 15, we read that. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Dear soul, the book of the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, is interpreted by and opened up by everything you have learned in the other 65 books of the Bible. Those things that you have learned, even in Exodus 3, where Moses goes into burning bush, opens this up to you. Matthew 17, Jesus being transfigured, is opened up by those things where we learned them in the early part of the things of the Scriptures. Revelation 2:18. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet as like fine brass. That's how he introduced himself to them. Did they know who he was? Yes, if they knew that Deuteronomy 4:24 said, our God is a flame of fire, even a jealous God. If they understood and brought those things up, they knew who it was that was introducing himself to them. Revelation chapter 10 and verse number 1. You don't need to argue about who this angel is. The word angel means messenger. Let's transpose that onto this verse. In Revelation 10 and verse 1. And I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. Cloud speaks of glory. And a rainbow was upon his head. That speaks of God's mercy. I will no more send a flood like this anymore, and I'll give you the token by giving you a rainbow. You see that rainbow, you know that I'm not going to do that again. And his face was, as it were, the sun. Revelation 1 and verse number 12 through 15. His face was as the sun. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. His face was as were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Our God is a consuming fire. The book of the Revelation is written in symbolic terms, but not anything that hasn't already been manifest to us in the other 65 books of the Bible. You don't need Dr. Bottlestopper's book to open up the book of the Revelation. You need the Holy Spirit to help you studying in the Scriptures of God to remember those things that God has taught you and make application of them in the book of the Revelation. The world can't understand the book of the Revelation. Dear soul, when I say that, I think, yeah, half the church can't because the church is so worldly. So we understand and see that this is the Lord. This is how God manifests himself. And dear soul, Moses in Exodus 3, he's the one that wrote down, and I don't know where he was, and I don't know if he used the quill or the feather of a goose or where he got the ink or where the paper was, and how in the world when he wrote that down in Deuteronomy 4:24, that it was preserved all the way down for me to be able to stand here and read it to you. I don't know. But God preserved it. But know this. Moses is the one that wrote Deuteronomy 4:24. Our God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. So we understand and see that this is what he's talking about. God is not just love. Well, I love you. Well, here's a Valentine card. Well, it's your birthday, so we're going to take you out to Outback and buy you a meal. There may not be an ounce of love in that. Just trying to get over an obligation and get by with something that makes you uncomfortable because it's their birthday and we've got to do something for them. And, you know, we'll tell the waitress, and they'll come over here clapping their hands and singing their song, Happy, Happy Birthday, which embarrasses everybody to death, and we shouldn't do that to people that we love. But we do it because we just want to get over the guilt that we have if we don't do it. Not an ounce of love in that. In that by itself, you might have love for somebody, but if you do, you won't be telling them that it's their birthday and make them be embarrassed in front of the whole restaurant. Now, look at Exodus 34 and verse 14. Exodus 34 and verse number 14. Exodus 34:14. And I want you to listen to this. In verse 13 it said, destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves. The people would plant trees and have a shady place where they could go and worship their idols. And he said, cut down all those things. And then the next verse that we want to look at is verse 14 of Exodus 34. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. If I asked you to give me a description of God out of the scriptures, you would say, God is love. And you would be right. In the book of 1 John, it says that. But would you give me a verse and say, God's name is jealous? And it's a capital J, dear friend. It says, my name is jealous, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. So we understand that the fire of God with Moses' burning bush, or the fire of God as seen in the S-U-N, is to manifest to us and to open up to us how fervent and how active and how much of a heat, if I can use that term, there is in God's heart in his love for you. So don't mess around with him. If you fell in love with somebody and they fell in love with you, you don't like to see them messing around with anybody else, and they don't like to see you messing around with anybody else. And they like to see you putting them first. Well, I want you to go with me to so-and-so. Well, I can't. Why? Because I'm going to the ball game. Dear soul, you need to be careful with people that love. You need to be especially careful with God, who is love and whose name is jealousy. We're so lackadaisical about God. We're just laid back. Well, God's sovereign, and he knows I love him, and you know, I just treat him any old way, and he's going to give me unto me eternal life, and I shall never perish, and I so love the Lord that he given to me eternal life. Yada, 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 yeah. Be careful. You're dealing with the Baptist God. You're dealing with a religious God. You need to come to the reality of the living God, who is the God of fiery jealousy. Remember, all of our works, my works, whether I preach for the glory of God or preach for the glory of myself or the glory of the church, is going to be tried. Everything we've ever done in claiming the name of Jesus will either be in two categories. Number one, hay, wood, and stubble. Number two, gold, silver, and precious stone. And both of them will be brought to the fire of God's wrath. The fire of God's jealousy. And understand this, God doesn't judge except by righteous judgment. What does that mean? He doesn't need your cousin or your next door neighbor to raise a hand and say, I swear to tell the truth, I saw him do this. He don't need anybody to tell him what we did or didn't do. And dear soul, listen, He knows what we did or didn't do, but worse or else better than that, he knows why we did it. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy might. Well, I did the right thing. Yeah, but you was hoping and wishing you could get it over with real quick because you want to go do something else. Well, yeah, I knew I had to go to the yarn store with her and the cloth store with her, but I wanted to hurry up and, you know, I wish she'd go on in by herself and let me listen to the ball game on the radio so I don't miss it. You don't think she knows that? Dear soul, listen. Not only do we do what we do, does God know what we did, but he knows why we did it, what the intent of our heart is. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Have we actually done that? I don't think we have, and I'm judging myself as well. But I need to understand. And that's why I'm bringing this to you with such urgency upon me. And I had this phrase in my mind all last week. The Lord our God is a jealous God. The Lord our God is consuming fire. What does that mean, Lord? Why do you keep bringing this up? God is a consuming fire. I need to find out what that means. I couldn't get any rest till I came over here and brought this to you. Now, I don't want any rest until I have accomplished this in my heart with an understanding that this is how I must live in every aspect of my relationship to God, whether I'm here in front of this microphone or in front of this camera or not. Whether anybody is looking or not, God is looking, and he's not just looking on the outward appearance. Well, there's the preacher. Well, he's a good man. But you don't know his heart. But God knows our hearts, dear soul. And he has eyes of fire. I read that to you in the book of the Revelation. He has eyes of fire. God knew about Moses' shoes. Well, there was Moses. He showed up at the burning bush and showed up with his sheep, and he was a priest. Yeah, but know this, God knew two things about Moses that really ought to make us stop and think. He knew, number one, that Moses was only approaching that bush to satisfy his curiosity. Moses, don't come over here near this, for this is holy ground. And the other thing was, he knew what kind of shoes he was wearing. God knows how we're walking. God knows why we're walking. God knows whether we're walking to please humanity, religion, or our conscience, or whether we have an awareness of the glory and the holiness of God himself. But whom say ye that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Oh, my soul, dear soul. Oh, my soul. It is amazing. Can you find the book of Zephaniah? The book of Zephaniah in the Old Testament. It's towards the end of the Old Testament. It comes before the book of Haggai. If you run into it, back up one book. It comes after the book of Habakkuk. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse number 18. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of God's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Chapter 3 of Zephaniah, chapter 3 and verse 8. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. Listen, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. You say, well, my cousin never went to church, so I know this ain't going to apply to him. Well, really? This says that every nation that's ever lived on the face of God's earth are going to have to experience the fire of God's jealousy. Dear soul, I have mixed feelings about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say with the Spirit, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But I don't want to say that just so that I can be apart from aggravations and trials and heartaches and so forth and get out of this mess of a world. But I want to say it because I want him to be admired in his saints when he comes to receive us unto himself. But I don't want to be so desirous of him and all excited and thrilled about it. Oh, Jesus is coming. And he is, and we should be excited about it, but not without the sobering understanding that we shall have to stand in that day in the fire of God's judgment, in the fire of God's wrath. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. They come home from social event, and he just had a big time. And she's mighty quiet in the car all the way home. And he wonders, what in the world is she so quiet about? I had a great time. But they get in the house, and she goes immediately to the bedroom and shut the door. And he knows he's in trouble, but he don't know why. And he goes back, honey, are you all right? Yeah. Can I come in? Yeah. What's the problem? And she's been laying down on the bed, and she sits up on the side of the bed, and she said, you don't know what the problem is? Uh-oh. When a woman says that, you better get in the car and take off. You don't know what the problem is. Why don't you tell me what the problem is? Because you showed more attention to your family and that cousin that you're so given to, and you think she's so wonderful and so great, and you didn't pay any attention to me. And I had my hair done, and I had a special dress and shoes that I bought just for the occasion, and you didn't even notice them. Guess what you're getting? The fire of her jealousy. Now, that may or may not be sinful. That may or may not be the green-eyed monster jealousy. It's certainly not in any way the purity of God's jealousy. But we can learn from it. And we learn and understand, listen, I need to be careful about those that I say I love and those that say they love me. I need to be careful because that love renders them a tender-heartedness towards me. And even though it may be something that I conceive as purely innocent, it may not be purely innocent or perceived to be so by them. So you come to understand, wait a minute, she's not just my girlfriend, she's my wife. He's not just my boyfriend, he's my husband. This is entirely different. And what does the Bible say? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wow. You mean to tell me that I have got to learn to act according to the way I want Christ to act towards me? As not only that, but dear soul, our God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. My name is jealousy. You're messing around with something that's far worse than your wife not speaking to you in the car on the way home from a social event, or your husband being mad at you because you showed too much attention to whatever his face was. You're dealing with eternal, holy God, whose love is so unbounding. Paul said, there's no depth. I can't reach the depth or the height or the width or the breadth of this thing. It's greater than anything I can imagine. And I need to be careful. And I can't just say, well, I'm a Christian, I belong to so-and-so church, and I read my Bible, and wait a minute, you ain't mentioned God yet. It's a personal relationship between you and the Lord. Let's get on to our last issue. In 1 Kings chapter 19, 1 Kings chapter 19, this old, I have never seen this until God gave me this message. In 1 Kings chapter 19, why did Elijah run to Mount Horeb? And I've already told you, Horeb was Mount Sinai. Same thing. Why did he tell God that he had run to Mount Horeb when Jezebel threatened to kill him? He went a long way to get there. And he's already said, Lord, I want to die, in 1 Kings 19 and verse 4. It is enough. I can't take no more. I don't want to walk any further with God on earth. This is as far as I want to go in my ministry. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. I thought I was a pretty good hot shot, but you know, I ain't no different than nobody else. And he lay and slept under a juniper tree. You know about this. He is already gone, and according to verse 4 of 1 Kings 19, a day's journey into the wilderness, and he sits down under a juniper tree. And under that juniper tree, he said, as far as I want to go, Lord, take my life, kill me. I don't want to do this anymore. And an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And he did eat and drink, and he lay down again. Dear soul, sometimes the best thing for you when you're having some kind of anxiety attack, or you may even think you're having a nervous breakdown, is good food and good rest. That'll do it. That's what God prescribed. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. I didn't know I was going on a journey. I was just running from Jezebel. Verse 8, 1 Kings 19:8. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat, forty days, that is that food, 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. And we know the Mount of God is Mount Sinai. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Your life's in a mess, son. Can you explain to me how you feel that you came to be here? What doest thou here? It is very interesting to hear what Elijah said to God. He said in verse 10, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for thy children of Israel, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. I'm the last Christian on earth, and they're trying to kill me. And what was it you said to God, Elijah? I have been very what? Jealous. He had a zeal and an envy and a fire of jealousy in his soul for God. So what did he do? He ran to where Moses received the law. Moses, who wrote in Deuteronomy 4:24, the Lord thy God is a flaming fire. He is even a jealous God. The Lord is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. So with the jealousy in his own heart, he runs to the mount where Moses wrote about one who is jealous with a fire burning within him. He had to find some kind of commonality with this burning fervor within his own heart. And he said, I can't find anybody else that has a jealousy like this. I think I'm the last abiding Christian in the entire world. And God said in verse number 11 of 1 Kings 19, go forth, get out of the cave. Little by little, God's going to recover him. Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. This is the mount where God came down. The mount was set on fire. The great thunderings, lightnings, darkness scared the people of God. God gave the law to Moses, and they said, don't let God talk to us. You let him talk to you. We'll stand away back over here. And Moses began to make them understand that the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. And Elijah said, I've got to go there because that's the only place that speaks to what I have in my heart. Go forth upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. How kind the Lord was. And a great and strong wind rent or tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. He stood there blinking with his eyes, pieces of rocks flying by, and a great wind destroys all the rocks, and God wasn't in the wind. There's a lot of stuff in our life that we think, boy, this is really something, and God's not in it. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. God was not going to be known to Elijah by the earthquake, the wind, or the fire. That's not how he was going to endear himself to the feelings of Elijah, who said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, and I'm the last Christian in the world. And I'm trying to preserve your name on this earth. Dear soul, it's not a true jealousy. It's not a true zeal before God if you think you've got to uphold everything to keep God safe. You don't need to justify God. It's God that needs to justify you. Listen. And after the fire, a still small voice. The Amplified reads, a voice of silent stillness. Here is that God speaking to his heart, like he spoke to Moses at that burning bush. And he comes to manifest who he is with a still small voice. And Elijah said, you know what? I've been all up in the air about fires, about rocks being torn all to pieces, and about earthquakes and all this kind of stuff, shakings and rattling of dry bones and like Ezekiel, but there wasn't nobody. There wasn't no humanity in that, those dry bones. There was no muscles. And when they did get muscles on the bones, there wasn't no life in them. And a lot of us are all involved and all upset about religion. But it ain't God. You're going to have to find God to be a consuming fire. Even a jealous God. When Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said and asked the same question that he asked him in verse number 9, what doest thou here, Elijah? Now that we've got all this cleared, and now that you have seen that you're not more zealous than I am, that you don't have to uphold the name of God. God will uphold your name. And it's not the fires of religion. Man, we had a great service. You know, this God was really service. Or this issue is really something. The church in America is being deceived about abortion and homosexuality, and that's not what God told you to be involved with. What God told us to be involved with is God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We need to get away from these shakings and these fires and these winds and breaking up rocks and get back to that still small voice of God. And God asked us the second time, what in the world are you doing marching on Washington with that placard in your hand and chanting those words that they're giving you? You're supposed to be a Christian, and I'm jealous of you. And here you are giving your attention to everything and everybody else except God. You need to get back to where this thing started and get back to the still small voice of God when you really knew it was you and the Lord. What doest thou here, Elijah? And Elijah repeats the same thing because it's still true, but I'm sure that he had a different sensation about this in his heart now than what he did at first after God showed him that the Lord wasn't in all that stuff. He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. Agreed. They have thrown down thy altars. That's true. And slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. That's how I understand it, and I'm trying to be honest and tell God how I feel. God later told him in verse number 18, I have left 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Balaam, to Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. I've got 14,000 knees and 7,000 mouths that haven't bowed or kissed Baal. You think you're the only one. You're just the only one you know of. But I'm not going to leave myself without witness. And I want you to know that everything's all right. And you know all that journey you made to get here? Well, turn around, boy, and go right back where you was. The parents of Jesus Christ, in order to find him, had to go back to where they left him. And it took them 3 days to find him, but only one day to lose him. And dear soul, it may be a lot harder for us to get back to God because of all of the prejudices that we've had in our heart and us being super-duper Christians and, you know, we ain't going to tolerate this. Listen, folks, God's not near concerned about your patriotism as he is about your true and pure religion and how you love the Lord with all your heart. We need to get back to God. We need to get out of Washington and get back to the heavenly Jerusalem. We need to come back to God and realize, yes, my jealousy is a sinful jealousy. It has a terrible envy in it because now I see God's jealousy. He is envious, but he's not mean or cruel or unkind in it. And the Lord said unto him, go, return. That's the second time God has told him to go. He told him to go forth in verse 11 and stand on the mount. And then in verse 15 he said, now go all the way back to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king. I've got somebody else already lined up to take the place of those horrible men. And anoint Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphath shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. By the way, I'm replacing you too. You go find Elijah, and anoint him because you're done. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay, that is, with the sword of the Spirit. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence and found Elisha, and he did what God told him to do. And he got back in the will of God and got back to where he was supposed to be, and he got things right with God. Dear soul, if there's ever been a time when the rocks are being broke and the fire is burning and the earthquake is shaking, it's today, in this day and age that we live in. But the thing we need to do is not choose sides and determine what we're going to do about what's going on as far as Congress is concerned or our political things. But what are we going to do about our relationship with God? When we die, the second after our death, we're going to be standing face to face to Jesus Christ. And we're not going to be able to fool him. Or else the second he returns, we're going to be face to face with the Lord. And dear soul, it's going to be too late then to turn our hay, wood, and stubble into gold, silver, and precious stone. This message is a message to call us back to loving the Lord like we should love him and get back to God, who is a jealous God. Thank you for your prayers. Thank the Lord for the message. You pray for Brother Bobby Quick. Thank the Lord for him as he comes and entertains us and ministers to us in song. Brother Bobby.
Then said I, this is Isaiah, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of the people of an unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the Lord, the King of glory. So I hope we have seen the King of glory today, and confess and repent. I certainly need it. And so I'm going to do a little song here, I hope. You probably never heard it because I just put it together, and I hope it goes together.
God is a consuming fire. Bow in worship before him. Lord, help me and help my heart to honor thee. My eyes seen you, Lord. Do I really know you? Have I really gotten right with you through your blessed Son? Let the light so shine within my heart. Let the glory of God be seen. Bring me, Lord, back to you.
All right, glory for that mercy.